The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Health Conspiracy Radio. I am your host, Nick Brannigan. We are streaming on naturalnewsradio.com. I have my friend, Liam Sheff, on the line. Hey, Liam.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
How the heck are you? How have you been?
Hey, I've been great. Thank you for coming back on the show. We're now in 2015, over 2 years of Health Conspiracy Radio. You've probably been a guest almost as many times as anyone, maybe with the exception of Dr. Soumya Sridharan, who's the sponsor of the show, LasVegasHomeopathy.com. It's funny, I actually met her at one of your talks that you gave out here in Las Vegas. I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah, I like her very much.
Yeah, she's a references your chapter on vaccines for a course that she teaches at CSN, Community College of Southern Nevada out here. So she benefited from your talk, and yeah, we became friends, and now she's a sponsor of the show, frequent host or frequent guest, and she is amazing. So I don't know, Liam, if they have homeopathy doctors where you're at right now, but if anyone's listening to this and they need some homeopathy and there's no one in your area, look up Dr. Soumya Sridharan at LasVegasHomeopathy.com. She does Skype consultations, and she will not just give you some petroleum-based pills to suppress your symptoms. She will help cure you through homeopathic medicine and through nutrition, believe it or not. Curing people through nutrition, Liam, that is radical and extreme.
It is. I'm in Central Florida. We're all getting cured of our ability to breathe here.
Chemtrails.
The sky is painted an interesting layer of cloudy colors every day. I didn't know what to make of the chemtrail conversation when I first heard about it. I I really didn't know. I thought, well, maybe some people don't know what clouds look like. You know, maybe they're anxious. But it's been years now, and I've seen with my own eyes planes spraying and spraying and spraying. So, you know, Nick, I wonder and worry about health issues at this point in the way I never have before, because I used to think if I ate healthy, I'd kind of be okay through the course of my life. But the assaults are lining up. The assaults are mounting, aren't they?
They are. And I think at the end of the day, that's why we do need to eat healthy most of the time and keep our immune system super strong. Because I look at it like, man, they're spraying these skies. What do I do about that? But if I'm eating, you know, processed, even if it's organic and vegan, if it's processed food, it's processed food. It makes me lethargic. I'm getting off the sugar completely this year. I'm quitting coffee this year. I'm not even eating it, like the occasional corn chip. Who doesn't like dipping some organic corn chips in guacamole? But that makes me feel like a pile of crap. So I think the answer to it is just keep our immune systems as strong as possible. Do as many raw, organic, or cooked whole foods, organic whole foods as possible. And I take vitamin C supplements, B12, D3, nascent iodine, Liam Chef dropped. He'll call back. But anyway, going back to Dr. Somia Schreeder in Las Vegas, homeopathy.com. It's her website. I also want to give a special shout-out to my other sponsor, Vegas Valley Organics. Certified organic CSA program in Las Vegas. Liam, we were talking about supplements. Now I'm talking about Vegas Valley Organics, the only certified organic CSA program in Las Vegas. That might be another solution, too. Get real organic fruits and vegetables in your system.
I know. Okay. I'll be Debbie Downer.
Yeah, please.
Okay. I don't know what to do with this anymore. I mean, if you eat gunky food, and I'm glad that you quit, you know, the deep fried whatever that you were eating, because they do make you feel crappy, because you can't digest those carbohydrates and the fats when they're heated to that temperature. Mm-hmm. They just become sort of a stomach liver bomb, and you can't do anything with it. I just don't know what to do. I read the Fukushima news. Do you ever read the Fukushima news?
I don't, but I need to get a Google alert for Fukushima.
No,
that's important.
No, don't. There's no news to read. It's like an unmitigated disaster that won't stop. And you know, have you heard about the deaths on the West Coast, the bird and sea mammal deaths?
No, is this recent?
Oh yeah, now today, yesterday, the day before.
No,
tens
I didn't.
Of thousands. Yeah,
I didn't hear.
It keeps mounting. So I want to ask you as a health guy, and I know we're going to talk about fast food and the way that like unsuspecting people are upsold the word healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you, Nick, I'm the audience might think I'm being cryptic or leading or I have a real solution to this. I don't. Where do we go now? Where on the planet can I go? You know, I'm willing to move.
I heard Costa Rica is good. I just heard of a guy that do you know who Kurt Haskell is?
No.
He was the guy who witnessed the CIA get the underwear bomber on the plane without a passport. The underwear non-bomber. But anyway, that changed his life dramatically, as one would imagine. And he said Costa Rica seems to be the last bastion of freedom. And also I've heard Acapulco too, but that's in Mexico, so not too sure about that.
Yeah, Acapulco.
From what I understand, Costa Rica seems to be the place to go. If I didn't have a co-parenting agreement over a child, I would take her and go to Rio de Janeiro. Not that I know if it's any freer, it probably isn't, but I like Brazilian women, and hey, that's what I would do if I was if I were to say F it, I'm done, and I'm getting out of here, and I had to legally could take my kid to another country. I would go to Brazil, and she would have many, many nannies, and I say nannies in quotes.
This show has just gone off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. Your host Nick Brannigan is revealing his true party self. Okay, so
Brazil, by the way, veggies. GetVeggies.com, Vegas Valley Organics. If you're in Las Vegas, go support them. Rio de Janeiro.
Rio's a disaster. And if you go to Sao Paulo, it's like, I don't know, three times the size of New York, or maybe more, four times the size of New York, and just awful and dangerous as can be, and so polluted. It's like, what's that town in Argentina? Buenos Aires, you know, it's called Good Air, but it's just all buildings intersecting with buildings, and they block the view of the river famously. So I'll tell you the truth. I think that we live, all right, are you ready? I think that we live in the century of, this is depressing to say, but mass human die-off. That's what I actually genuinely think that. That I've given up the thought that we can just sort of change it. You know, I gave up the liberal thought that if we just, you know, if we only vote, we change everything. You know, all that kind of stuff. So I just think you have to love people. You have to love the people in your world. You have to find people that you can be yourself with. And I don't know, and you got to do the things that you love. I don't know what else we can do, really. I mean, what else do you think we can do? What else is there?
Well, I think trying to change the world is a losing battle. I think only thing we really can do is change ourselves. Be like, you know, the old Gandhi quote, be the change you want to see. But I think that's where a lot of activists get things wrong is that they want to change everyone else before they clean up. They want to, you know, tell everyone else to clean their houses before they clean their own house. So everyone's looking at them like they're the crazy activists and what are you doing? And at the end of the day, from the beginning, when I first started giving talks on GMOs, before this radio show was ever a thought, I would always preface the talk with saying, it's not my aim to convince anybody of anything. And I still go with that. I put this information out there. I'm doing radio like 6 or 7 shows a week now. And I love when people change based on my information. But if people say, I heard your show, you're an idiot, I don't care what you have to say, that doesn't bother me. That's unfortunate for them for being stupid. But I think that's it. That's the answer is change yourself. Be the change you want to see. Eat healthy because you want to do it for yourself, because you want to be productive and have the best energy that you can have, because it's all about energy. I don't know about a mass human die-off, but I do see the sterilization happening, because maybe it could be different because of social media, but I find it disturbing the number of people that I know, women, obviously, that have had miscarriages or been trying to get pregnant and have been unable to do that. And I've never met a woman that ate organic or plant-based that's had that problem. So I think there is definitely the sterilization in food. So if the mass die-off doesn't happen in our generation, Liam, I believe it will be the next generation will be a lot of women that are sterile and unable to have children. So the population will slowly decrease over the generations.
Yeah, I expect. Well, if we're going to talk about this, I expect the cancer rate, you know, within this century to hit about 50-60% of the population. And I think that's not unreasonable. It might go much higher, depending on where in the world you are. But, you know, we're in the plume from Japan, so we're going to get a lot of that, and we are getting a lot of that. If you go to a website called ENE News, or Energy News, ENE News, you can excite yourself over Fukushima. If you live in America, we're of course doing the hydraulic fracking or fracturing. These companies are now looking at these frack holes as a place to bury nuclear waste. So it seems that somewhere in the 40s, when the research scientists, here's one for peer review, by the way, you know, was nuclear energy peer review? The answer is yes. I had a friend explaining to me, you know, I was complaining about peer review, and he said, well, it is pretty bad. But imagine where we'd be without it.
Yeah, okay.
And I just thought, well, the Pacific Ocean is being murdered by, you know, a leaking nuclear, 6 nuclear reactors on the Fukushima coast. The let's see, we've got fracking holes all over the country destroying the water table everywhere. What else are we doing? We're blowing off the top of mountains to get more coal, releasing mercury and cyanide, whatever else we are, into the water and air. Let's see, that's all sort of, you know, reviewed by peers. I mean, it's gotten a government approval on it, so peers had to look, it's okay, we'll say yes. The vaccine industry marches handily along, calling all the mothers holding their damaged children in their arms liars and, you know, fakers. Let's see, the AIDS industry likes to give people the same drugs as the cancer industry likes to give people. This is all peer-reviewed. I think Hiroshima and Nagasaki were peer-reviewed. I mean, the Manhattan Project was reviewed by the peers of people there, at the, you know, in Nevada. So, hey, right? Or was it New Mexico?
Yeah, peer-reviewed, it depends on who's reviewing it. But it's kind of sad. Yeah, it's kind of sad that science has become a religion for a lot of these folks out there, and science is an application that can be used for good or used for evil. So peer-reviewed is kind of worthless. There's this guy, I don't know, I'll send you this article later if you want to take a look at it. He went to, I think he was at Harvard. He said he gets spammed all the time for, pay us $500, we'll put your studies in our journals. And he went to randomtextgenerator.com and came up with a quote study about how I think it was the cacao content in Cocoa Puffs is good for you. And it was accepted by something like 12 journals to publish. You know, they were scammers, but at the end of the day, he showed you how easy it is to get a quote-unquote study published in a journal as such. And that's the unfortunate part, is when it comes to these peer reviews or whatever they are, these studies, who's funding them as well? I saw some dumb article about this lady put saying diet soda is good for you despite what people say. Read this study. Then you click the freaking study, and it says, this study was fully funded by the Beverage Association. That's what I call a fail.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's all I know.
Yeah, because they make kids retarded. That's why they go cuckoo. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to say retarded anymore.
No, stunted, and they damage. Right. So this a friend was arguing that peer review is better, and of course, you know, he wants to believe this, but I think if we had no peer review, and anything that came to the market came with a warning label that said, we don't know. We don't know. We think it's probably okay. We don't want to get sued. You know, we're not protected by a lie called peer review. You know, you can sue us because we don't peer review this. We just pass it through a couple safety tests. But we don't have the benefit of the government as it does, you know, protecting all the medical industries and their products, with little statements on the bottom. Now, if you follow the statements on the bottom of medical websites, government websites, NIH, CDC, and you follow them, they end up in the same kind of disclaimers that the natural health community has to make, which is, we make no promise for this product. No, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. People think that they make promises, but they don't. You can click through, if you go to the NIH database, CDC, it says at the end, we are not essentially responsible for anything that happens to you as a result of the information, which is exactly what they accuse the health community of doing. Oh, well, they can't make any claims. Well, we can't make, you know, health community can't make any claims because you won't let us. But you guys don't make any claims either. You just claim that you make claims, but there in the fine print, you don't. So it's about the same. But imagine that we didn't have the lie of peer review. People now say, oh, it was peer reviewed. And they think that that means that God, and I mean the male deity from the Old Testament himself, came down, you know, Yahweh came down and said, this is fine. And it's funny because it's usually really, you know, very liberal people who maybe aren't very religious who look at peer review as though it makes it sacrosanct. Well, there couldn't be anything wrong with this. It was reviewed by peers. Who are the peers? Who was funding them? How many mortgages, how many cars do they have in their garage? Are they going to the vacation in the Bahamas thrown by the General Electric Corporation, which makes the machines that go into the hospitals, or Pfizer? Hey, let's go on another Pfizer vacation and meet our peers. This is exactly what happened. I grew up in this family. I grew up in these among these people. I grew up in a family of doctors, and I can tell you that Bristol-Myers Squibb throws great parties.
I'm like, it's one of the best quotes. Sure, I don't know if I read it in your book directly or heard you say it on radio, but when it comes to science, facts can change.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
That's what you learn growing up in a family of doctors or researchers. You just learn that what's in them, yeah, that's in official stories. That's the opening, actually. I couldn't talk about the idea of thinking critically without telling you that from an official point of view, you're allowed to change your mind anytime you want. Then you publish it in a peer-reviewed journal, which you own, or you're paying the salary of three people on the committee, and there are only five, and you get to change your mind. So radiation is good for you. Radiation is bad for you. Radiation is okay for you. You know, Cocoa Puffs are good for you. Sugar isn't bad for you. Well, yeah, all these things are lies. I mean, except that radiation is bad for you. It is true. But it doesn't really matter. And now we have the internet, the dopey internet. So, you know, when Fukushima was happening and I was trying to, I became aware enough and I was explaining to people that this was a very serious problem, I actually had some very crazy people telling me that radiation was perfectly safe. And in order to say that, they were quoting one person who had worked in the nuclear industry and was writing articles that had been published in on the internet or somewhere else. And it wasn't that they were published on the internet. It's that they were crazy and that they didn't make any sense and they couldn't be reproduced. As people, you know, could hold dangerous uranium in their hands and not have any problems. No, it's not true. Or people could swim in a reactor where there was uranium at the bottom. You know, not talking about the fact that the water was protecting them to some degree and they weren't going deep enough to get massive exposure or that there wasn't a meltdown happening. And then you have to have conversations with this group of people. Now you also
Do you have to have conversations with people? I feel like I have a pile of rocks outside my porch. I feel like I should just go out there and yell at those rocks, and that's like talking to these people, except the rocks actually yell back, and they don't make any sense.
No, I don't talk to those people.
Okay, all right. Yeah, some people, I just they argue. They say, okay, thank you for your input. Now, bye. Get away from
me. But Nick, I read the I had to know, so I read the articles and I went through them and I came up with, I thought, a very reasonable response that took in the data that they had sent me, which was no data. You know, like there's no data here. There's no information here. This is just a crazy, crazy article that doesn't quote any history that anybody can prove and seems to be contradicted by actual real life events like people dying of radiation exposure. Now, as the other day, somebody on the FBI social network, Facebook, was posting one of my – somebody was complaining about, I don't know, people not being vaccinated. So he posted an interview that I'd given to iHealth News or something that had gotten a fair number of hits. And somebody posted a double facepalm. They had from Star Trek Captain Picard and Riker, and they both were slapping their heads. And it's a double face palm. In response to me, he didn't watch the video, but he just said, well, you know, double face palm. And the other guy wrote back and he said, well, actually, you're supposed to be able to think critically about the sciences. And he said, well, actually, science is peer reviewed. So all you have to do is be able to, like, put up a little picture of a Star Trek meme, and that's your response. And then you're right. And that's it. That's the internet.
Those captains know what they're talking about. it's crazy, and I bet you if you said to this guy, hey, read this article that Mike Adams wrote documenting what is in the chickenpox insert, showing the side effects and showing that it actually has been tested, instead of being open-minded and saying, I'll read it, then I'll respond to you, they would say, oh, that Mike Adams, that health ranger guy, he's just anti-science. Oh, God. And then they eat Hot Pockets in their mother's basement. And
you know, the worst thing about it is they're not living in their mother's basement. They actually live in apartments and they have girlfriends or boyfriends and they live fairly normal lives and they walk around and they go to their job and they're fairly friendly and then they come home and then they just poop on people who are saying, hey, there's something wrong here. And I don't know why, but that's what they do for kicks because they don't have anything else to do because there's nothing else to do because we're all – trapped, as my friend Popeye from Down the Rabbit Hole says, we're all in an open-air concentration camp. You know, we're free to walk around in the open-air concentration camp. We're there with the chemtrails above us, the GMOs sliding down our throats. But you wrote an article about this, and I don't want to ignore that. You wrote an article about something.
I wrote a couple articles. We can get to that. But we'll talk about it briefly, and we'll go to commercials. Just, you know, Carl's Jr. I'm assuming you don't need Carl's Jr., Liam. Is that fair to say?
I'm not only a member of the club. No, I don't eat there.
Oh, they may be Hardee's over.
It's a terrible
over there in the East Coast.
No, yeah, roadkill be us. Yeah, go on.
Well, they're saying they're not roadkill because now they're offering an all-natural burger. It's grass-fed, free-range cows from Australia with no added hormones or steroids or whatever else they add to cows. But here's the problem, Liam. I want to get know your opinion. Is this fraudulent marketing? When you read the ingredients for everything else, it's full of artificial stuff. Neotame is in the bun. Artificial butter flavor. Yellow dyes. Polysorbate. Bunch of other crap. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure no one listening to Health Conspiracy Radio for the most part falls for this line. But I kind of want to reach people that are still stuck in the matrix, so to speak, where they're thinking, well, I can go to Carl's Jr., bro, and get like a natural burger, and it's not as bad for me. Because that's how they would talk. If they would even think about eating a Carl's Jr. burger.
Hi, we're all Australian cows. Hi, we're coming over to America to get in your stomachs.
Yeah, because they love it. Cows love to be murdered for food. But even
can you cut me into pieces? Hi, bring me over to America.
That's humane slaughter. If a cow says that, I would say that's humane slaughter, and I would support you eating that cow. But I would say actually,
I don't want to live anymore.
Yeah. The genius cow that knows how to speak but wants to die. That sounds.
Could you cut off my legs and put me on a Barbie? Could you put a chainsaw through my stomach, please?
Here, I don't know what accent that is, but here's a joke. Australia is undergoing the worst drought of any country in the world, except, and I know what I'm saying, except the west coast of, except California, which is a country unto itself, and of course Nevada. Their drought is so bad they're losing parts of their towns and cities the same way that we are. Cows require 22,000 something gallons of water to funnel through them to get an edible pound of meat to grow on the frame of the animal. That comes out in piss and feces, highly nitrogenous, which destroys rivers. So we're taking a drought-ridden country, which is 90-something percent desert, asking them to grow, to feed cattle, grain, grass, I guess. They say, I can't imagine that they're really grass-fed all the way. They probably fatten them up at the end, because it's just, I don't know where they're finding that much grass to graze on. And then we bring them over here so that a few of us, when we get in our cars and we're going somewhere for no reason, can stop at the roadside and feel that we're having a healthier hamburger. Yay for us.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And that's a point I make in the article, is they don't claim to be 100% grass-fed, which means they're probably what they call corn-finished. And it's amazing.
Wait a second. Corn-finished?
I've just recently discovered that term. A grass-fed cow can be corn-finished.
That's an awful thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, it sounds like it has to do with anal. No, it's...
Oh, whoa,
yeah,
they
can be corn-finished. That's pretty awful. And the free range, I don't subscribe to that term either, because it might be different in Australia. But the USDA can mean free range. They can drill a hole in the door. And technically, the chickens or the cows or the pigs have access to the outdoors, but if they're too weak and stupid to know how to walk outside, then that's on them. So a free-range animal could technically never see the sun or the chemtrails in their unnatural life. So, but even the sustainability issue that you brought up, Liam, that's an excellent point. In the desert, so some yuppies that think they're eating well but they're not can get a dumb, natural Carl's Jr. burger.
But are they yuppies, is it the truck driver whose wife said, you got to eat healthier, and he goes, I'll give me an all-natural one. How much does it cost?
Well, that's a good point, too. But it's still fooling people to think they're eating a little bit better. Because one blog said along the lines of, the reason for the change is consumer demand is proof that educated consumers can and will demand a higher quality. Well, I got news for this
blogger is that anyone buying this Carl's Jr. shite is not an educated consumer.
No, that's a Scottish tricked. Word. That was a Scottish word that you just employed. I wasn't aware that we were. In any case.
If it's Scottish, it's not a cuss word in America.
In any case, I don't know what to tell you, but low on the food chain. Low on the food chain. You know? Low on the food chain. You go lower on the food chain, and you have fewer chemical contaminants. I would recommend if you really need to eat meat, I would recommend that you go low on the food chain and eat something called chirps, which are baked, so not fried, organic, non-GMO corn chip that's also made with grasshoppers.
That sounds good. And Rockstar Energies are flavored with beetle ankles, so they're not vegan. Liam, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your new projects. What are you doing in the world of authoring? That's writing books and stuff. So everyone, that was such a great outro. Everyone, stay tuned. This is Nick Brannigan with Health Conspiracy Radio. We will be back in just a moment.
Hey, y'all, are you looking for Corolla? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't leave enough to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before. And let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore. Don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with the diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic. Super clean, super foods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship. And if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
And I always like to end it with the message of love. Insecurity, in my opinion, is the root of all evil, and anyone who wants to control the food supply is massively insecure. It's just a complete lack of empathy. And I take it from, you know, these are our choices. How do we handle this? Do we do it through love, peace, and bliss, or do we through fear, hate, and insecurity? Because if you're putting out hate, you're putting out fear, that's what your physical vibration is going to be, and that's what you're going to bring back to you. Call them out on what they're doing, but you don't do it in a way where there's anger.
You're listening to Health Conspiracy Radio.
Yes, you are. I am your host, Nick Brannigan, and you're listening to us on naturalnewsradio.com. And just a reminder, we're also on the new channels, blogtalkradio.com/HC Radio. I go live, well, usually live, Monday through Friday, 4:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7:30 a.m. East Coast Time. Next week on the show is Vani Hari, the Food Babe. She'll be talking about her new book, The Food Babe Way, which I've been reading, and I have a nice review and a couple of recipes I'll be posting on there, so be sure to tune in for that. Liam Sheff, I read this new article about the cayenne pepper enema. Have you heard about this, or have you tried it yet?
Well, I mean, I've tried it the long way through. I've eaten spicy food.
Oh, never the other way.
I usually, you know, put it in the long way through. So I guess I got the benefits everywhere. Really spicy food is, of course, very aggravating to the tissue and the stomach, the intestine, and the colon. So I'm not going to put cayenne peppers up my bottom, no matter what you say, Nick Brannigan, no matter what you say.
Okay, well, you're a smart man, because I just made that article up. Sometimes I feel like I want to troll the internet just to get people to think for themselves, but I don't want people to get mad at me for making stuff up. So I got to contain myself sometimes. So in case you're confused about the last 60 seconds of dialogue, listening audience, there is no article called the cayenne pepper enema. Well, maybe there is, but I haven't read it. So don't put cayenne pepper up your ass. Okay.
Oh.
Tip of the week. Don't put cayenne pepper up your backside.
Hmm? Well, I've got the cayenne pepper diet. That comes up. Now I'm just going to type in, let's see what happens. Cayenne pepper enemas.
Oh, no. Are we getting results?
Your cayenne pepper guide. A couple of weeks ago, a gentleman emailed me, asked about the efficacy of cayenne pepper enemas. I'm not making this up. I was intrigued as I was thinking of writing an article for the site on the pros and cons of a cayenne pepper enema.
Nice. Seeing what
I've done with you, cayenne pepper enemas, so I can tell you, I feel, the pros and cons, the good and bad. Let's have a look. Continued. Cayenne pepper will stop hemorrhaging in literally 10 seconds, both internally and externally, when imbibed. If there's bleeding in the intestinal tract, cayenne pepper enema can help, but it's not ideal. Really? I would often be drinking of it, as it's easier and quicker. Woo!
Wait, drinking it is easier than quicker than stinging it up your ass?
Whoa!
Well, what's this guy's name? He's a genius. Thank you for that groundbreaking insight, author of that article. I got to stop saying the A word. That's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, his name is cayennepepper.info. Count me out, coach. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. Leg cramp. Can't come in. Can't play.
Yeah, but I do engage in a cayenne pepper and lemon water every morning, and that's good.
Do you?
Three dashes of cayenne pepper, a half or quarter lemon, squeeze in about 16 ounces of room temperature water. I think that's good.
Right.
I used to do the shots, but the shots are intense, and I don't think diluting it's going to really take away much health benefit. So that's a good morning.
No,
ritual.
No, not at all. I drink apple cider vinegar in the morning. I watch people and they say, it's good to have apple cider vinegar in the morning. So they take a shot glass and they pour some in and they drink it and they make a terrible face and they're just and I think most of that is just going to be absorbed very quickly through your stomach. It's not even going to make it to your intestines. Why don't you take that same amount and put it in, two cups of water and drink it for an hour?
Yeah, I don't see the need to do that to myself. That face and that little dance that you do because your body's going after the apple cider vinegar or the cayenne pepper. Yeah, so dilute it and just drink it at your own pace, and it's a lot less painful, and you're still getting tremendous health benefits from it.
Absolutely, I use cayenne pepper in my cooking. I mostly eat curries. I mostly eat like an Indian person. So, yeah, that's what I mostly do. A lot of turmeric and fair amount of cayenne. Not too much because you don't want to it can overstimulate, and these it can bother a nervous system. And if you're prone to being wound up, as sometimes I can be, not really anymore, but when I was younger, if I eat too much spicy food, I get a little bit crazy. I run around. I go kind of crazy. So I'm writing about stuff that the audience might find a little crazy. I'm going to let you bring in the conversation so that I know the parameters of the audience's tolerance for talking about SE cross hockey sticks.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to talk about sex.
Oh.
You know, see, my kid's sitting over here, and she's like, oh, what's that word mean, acting like she's not listening. Then I got to lie and say, oh, the stork brings in babies, because I don't want to explain what goes where at her age. I don't lie to my kid, but I see where the stork story came from. From dads being awkward around their daughters and not wanting to tell what's actually going on. So I just say, hey, ask me when you're 13. But you're writing a book about that topic.
Yeah, I'm writing a couple books. And here's the thing. Kids in tribal cultures tend to be allowed to be playfully active with each other. You know, there's no sex at a certain age. There's just no ability to do it or get pregnant or anything. But in tribal cultures, kids live in kids' land. They don't intersect with adult land. They live in kids' world. Kids are raised in a group of kids, children, under, 5 to 12 or something like that. After that, the age that you mentioned, 13, they tend to go through a coming-of-age ceremony, 14, 15, something like that. And they're welcomed into the group of adults or young adults. And you notice there's a biological difference, because people of a certain age can get pregnant or can get people pregnant, and people of a certain age can't get pregnant. The funny thing is, in most tribes around the world, kids are allowed to be very playful. They're allowed to imitate the sexual habits of their adult or of the adults with each other, not with adults. And nobody cares, because nobody can get pregnant. We're very strange in that we think that it's terrible for children to be affectionate or playful that way with each other. When I was growing up, we, of course, had the playing of doctor. We call it playing doctor, which I didn't really understand because, I'd never been to a doctor. Anyway.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, who said, hey, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. No, thank you, doc. No, thank you.
Time for a new doctor, Mom. This one just tried to do the old HJ, and I'm unhappy with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let me out of here. I'm out.
Oh, this show is right, so racy. Go ahead.
But if you take an anthropological interest, you'll find that tribes around the world don't behave the way that we do. That kids are allowed to explore their identities without much concern from adults, because the main concern is that they don't get pregnant. Well, they can't get pregnant, so nobody cares. And I'm not talking about people hurting people or force. There's no concept of force in this. All right, now let's get beyond that conversation, because that's not really what I'm writing about. I'm writing about adults, and the nature of adult relationships has come deeply into my scopes, and I think that the truth is, Nick, that it always has been. And even when I wrote the chapter on vaccines, and I talked about the HPV vaccine, mm-hmm. and when I wrote the chapter on HIV testing and AIDS drugs, and I talked about how we target people, we sexually manage people. Like we're worried about we're worried about young people developing sex lives, but instead of having any kind of normal conversation with them, or instead of them being allowed to explore it when they were growing up in a non-dangerous way, we're suddenly terrified that the worst thing that's going to happen is that they'll get pregnant or get a disease, so we now vaccinate them. We inject them at 12 and 13, 11, 12, 13, with stuff that can kill them. It has killed many young women and damaged them, and so probably some young men too, this HPV disaster. The HIV disaster is that there's a test that comes up positive for just about everything, and they use it on certain groups of people, black people and gay men. And they say that it's accurate for them, but not really accurate for anybody else. And then they give them drugs that are very, very poisonous. And you might ask yourself why they would do that. Right. Well, that follows the old Levitical idea in the old Torah, which became the Old Testament under new management, I guess. the Leviticus was a rule that said that men cannot lie with men and that women cannot lie with anybody but their husband. But of course, men can have, according to the old, the Torah, can have 700 wives if they want. So the rules were never equal or never quite fair. We've inherited this whole culture, this whole herding culture mentality that says that women are essentially some kind of property. And feminism came along and said, well, women and men have to be equal. But I think what feminism missed was that they made us equal, but we're both equally enslaved now. We're both equal in the capital-earning, wage-earning factory petroleum society that we live in, oil-run society that we live in. So,
yeah.
And now women and men are supposed to be free, are supposed to be equal and not. Men used to be able to have all sorts of extracurricular affection. They'd have men's clubs, and they still have men's strip clubs, but they'd have, men's clubs that you go to and hang out and get away. And women really had their whole lives being quite separate from their husbands in the Victorian era. Women ran the household, and they didn't see their husbands very much, and they had all kinds of friends, mostly a lot of girlfriends. But now we're supposed to get everything from one person. And I grew up watching this not work. I've watched a lot of marriages sputter and struggle, and some stay together and some blow apart, in which people have had to, they started out as friends or lovers, and now they've had to become each other's co-parent and co-counselor and co-therapist and co-doctor and bill payer, mortgage payer, co-student loan payer backer, kitchen and house cleaner, because it's just the two of you. You're not allowed anybody else in this world, unless you bring in children, and then they have to start participating in that. But the tribal world that we come from for, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years before we became an a settled agricultural species, which only really lasted for about 10,000 years. Tribal species, our tribal nature isn't to wind ourselves into groups of two and to isolate ourselves in a house, to talk to nobody else after a certain time of day or night, to not procure food with anybody, but to go somewhere else to bring food back, but only to our little house, not to share with anybody else. None of this stuff is really the way that we're built to live. We're much more communal. We're much more tribal by nature. That's why we're so happy when we go to events with, large groups of people, and we're sharing things, sharing food, sharing ideas, sharing songs, sharing music, just sharing each other's presence, sharing affection. Now, in America, there seems to be a growing movement of a group called polyamorous people, and there's a growing group of people called swingers. And swingers and polyamorous people are two different things. And I'm just going to put a pause there to see where you want to go with this.
Well, explain what – I don't know what polyamorous is. So I know what swingers are. That's kind of cool. But what the other term that's new to me, what is that?
Well, polyamorous is from the Greek and Latin words that mean many loves. And, of course, if you're a person who has many friends, you realize that you love a lot of people anyway. If you're a parent of more than one child, you love all of your children, and even though you might not like them all the time, you can't help loving your spouse at least sometimes. And even if you hate them sometimes, you still really rely on them. You love many people in your life, but polyamory really means that you're going to have room to have a variety of romances through your lifetime. You're not going to restrict yourself from having a variety of romances. So polyamory means that, let's say that I meet Rachel. Let's say I meet Rachel, and Rachel and I get along really, really well, and I really love her. And then we become sexual, and we have a really nice sex life, and she tells me, but I like girls a little bit too. And I say, okay, that's fine. How does that go? And she tells me the rules, and the rules are that she gets to go out and has a girlfriend who she sees too. And I think, okay. And I'm a little jealous. And she says, no, don't, this is what we do, and this is what you and I do, and Rachel's my friend, and you're my friend. And I say, okay, but who do you like more? And she says, well, I live with you because I'm more comfortable living with, this is all a fantasy, actually. This isn't what's happening in my life.
okay.
But maybe it could. I'm open to it. If you are a Rachel and you fit this description, please give me a call. 1-800-LIAM is available.
Yeah.
And Rachel says, but I see my girlfriend sometimes. I think, okay. And then Rachel says one day, you can have other friends as long as we're talking with each other about what we're doing in the house and or the apartment and what our responsibilities are. And I think, well, isn't that dangerous? I mean, what if I really fall in love with one of them? She says, well, then you fall in love with one of them. And she says, well, that's like, then you'll have this new relationship energy and you'll be high as a kite for a while. Because, you know, Rachel and I have now been together for a year, so we don't have that new relationship. We like each other. We love each other. And we've had a lot of very good sex. But I say, it's possible I could just really fall for him. She said, so fall for him and tell me how great it is and remain my good friend. And I say, but do I sleep with you during this night? She said, you don't have to. We can just see. We can talk about it. Well, this arrangement is called polyamory. And it is clearly built for people who have the ability to communicate with each other at a significantly improved level than the average American is taught to. You have to be willing to work through issues of jealousy, of insecurity, issues of anxiety about your life. You can't ask somebody to die, you know, to be with you till death do you part because somebody wrote it down on a piece of paper that you didn't really understand when you agreed to it. You have to say, I care about you, I like you, I'm your friend, I'm going to remain communicative with you, and I'd love to support you in these things that we have in common. You define what those things are that you have in common, and you support them. Now let's say that Rachel one day and I have gone on for 5 years, we've had a wonderful relationship, but she wants to have kids and I don't, or I want to have kids with somebody and she doesn't. Well, at that point, I say, look, I have to take a more serious partner or whatever it is. And she says, I'm hurt, but I'm not angry. I understand. And I hope that you'll let me be a very big part of your life and I really care about you. And I say, absolutely. And now I have met somebody, Samantha. and Samantha, not that's the name I like very much. How about Carrie there? It's the Sex in the City. So I meet Carrie, and Carrie wants to have kids, so we have kids. And then Rachel comes over, and Carrie and Rachel get along really, really well. And Rachel ends up being kind of a co-parent among us three, and she realizes that she loves the kid. And then she decides that she wants to have a kid, but she's going to start seeing somebody else, so she has a kid with that other person. And then I'm sort of a co-parent of that kid, and so is Carrie. And then we all sort of get along, and we don't all have sex with each other, but we are allowed to be in each other's lives, and we define the terms. And life goes on that way. And it doesn't stop going on. The door doesn't shut. And in 10 years, you know, I might find that Carrie and I have drifted a little because, you know, really she wanted to move to Brazil because of Nick Branigan being in Rio.
I like Carrie. Go on.
Call back to the first half of the show. And so Carrie, I'd say, listen, I love you, but if you're going to slut around down there in Rio, I can't. You know, love you the same way that I did. So, you know, and she says, well, that wasn't very nice. I say, all right, I'm sorry. And I say, I'm just a little jealous because, you know, and she says, well, the kid is 10 years old and it would be okay. Would it be okay if you know, you can come down and you can visit and see what Rio is like and bring the kid who's yet to be named. We haven't picked out a name yet. The kid is called Amazon.com. We got a sponsorship. We needed to sponsor the child, so we called the kid Amazon. So I'm going to take Amazon down to Rio. The audience is now wondering what I'm talking about. But what I'm unspooling is the idea that instead of going through life going, I love you, never leave me, I love you, be everything to me, I love you, never leave me, oh, it's not working out, let's get divorced. We say, I love you, I care about you, we have these things in common, I will always communicate with you. I will be openly communicative with you. I will make it my job to value myself and you, but I'm not going to promise that you own my hips or genitals. I'm going to instead communicate with you about where I'm headed. And any responsibilities that we have together, we are going to keep those responsibilities up. Houses, mortgages, bills, kids, et cetera. We're not going to be flaky. This isn't the summer of love. We're not just going to pretend that we don't have responsibilities. So this is the concept of polyamory. Now, immediately it appeals to some people and terrifies others. Immediately some people go, my God, I've always, that's just me deep down. I've just never been able to do that. Nobody ever gave me permission. And other people say, oh, my God, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. It will destroy the family. Jesus will cry bloody tears. This isn't okay. And that's the range of responses that you have to expect, that you get from this conversation.
Well, I think what you're doing is, you know, opening up a new possibility, because really I don't feel strongly about either option. For me, I'm open to all possibility, but I think there's a massive amount of insecurity that goes with marriage. Like, I'm well aware of women that will say, oh my God, I'm 30, I'm not married, and they'll marry the first idiot that will get in their way, then they get divorced a year later because two strangers got married because that's what they were told they should do their whole lives, that fairy tale princess thing that doesn't quite work out. So I think it's good to be, you know, for a listening audience that's like, what's going on right now? Be open-minded about new possibilities, because, you know, one thing I said, I think I said to you recently, Liam, on Facebook or Skype, but, you know, I think there's really three conspiracies. There's the health conspiracy, you know, the money matrix slavery conspiracy, then there's the sex conspiracy. And a lot of that, you know, I know people that are sexually suppressed because they are married and they are with someone who they're not, you know, completely in love with, and they would probably better off being single for the both of them. So I think it's good to be open to these, and I like that you're taking this topic on.
Oh, thank you. You know, yeah. I mean, I've had some very positive feedback, and then I've seen some extremely negative feedback, mostly from very religious people.
Well,
and I'm not a very religious. I'm a spiritual person, but religion is created in the last couple. You know, the religions that we have are essentially photocopies of religions that existed before with different names, that came about in a very particular historical time and place in a herding culture rather than a foraging culture, so an animal-driving culture. And I don't resound with most of the precepts of, you know, the Old Testament or the Torah, which is a lot of female suppression, a lot of, you know, brutality, a lot of violence. It's just not something I want to carry forward as a theory of a way to live. So, you know, I part company with some people over that, unfortunately. And
I do think that's to be expected from the religious sector of America or wherever. But again, we got to think of it like this. You know, marriage does work for some people, but what is the divorce rate? Still at 50%? And at 50% that stays together, how many of those people are truly I've been told of had friends that had parents that stayed together because it was their religious values, and they actually should have got divorced 30 years ago. But, you know, it's okay to be open to a new possibility, and I think that's where you're taking people, and some people are going to respond to it, and some people are going to be scared about it.
I appreciate your calm response to that. Now, I started writing this as a kind of theoretical book, talking about how these relationships can come about. I talked about the herding culture from which we emerge, and I was writing about the petroleum culture, which lets us replace entire communities with a few machines that run on oil. What happens when the oil runs lower is that we have to find ourselves again in tighter communities. But
hey, Liam, I don't want to cut you short. We're about to wrap up. If you want to come on the live show, give us all the information, and maybe we can get you back on a live show and talk more. But, yeah, what's the website, and how can people find out more about what you're writing about?
No problem. Find me. And I'm writing what I was going to say is I'm writing a novel version of this, which is going to be very sexy, so it's going to be easier to approach. You find me at my website, liamscheff.com, L-I-A-M-S-C-H, like school, E-F-F.com. Find me on the FBI social network or Facebook, where I put up many colorful little memes that will get you to think and ask questions that you can share with your friends.
Awesome. Liam, thank you for coming on. We'll get you back on the live show soon if you're available. But everyone, check out Liam's book. Check out me at healthconspiracy.com. This is Nick Brandigan signing off of Natural News Radio. We will see you next week.